Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 5, Part C.
Now the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. And then comes that they had a king over them, had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. So this is another type of false doctrine then that hides the light of the sun, that brings despair to men. We have many such false doctrines in the world today that can never bring men happiness, but simply rob life of all meaning. We think, for example, of the dogma of evolution, which really finally robs men of all peace, because it makes life meaningless. Or the existential philosophers who tell us that life is without meaning. You live for today, because tomorrow, you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Nobody knows what's going to be tomorrow. There is no meaning in life. There is nothing waiting for men. The atheism of our time, which teaches men just to be interested in this world, all of those things finally become so disappointing that life is robbed of all meaning, and people would just as soon be dead. Part of the drug craze that we have to deal with in our time can be traced right to this despair, this feeling of hopelessness, that people have anything to forget, this terrible gnawing fear that eats away at the human heart. That's the only way that some people can find peace for themselves, because they have not been given the kind of doctrine that can give them any kind of hope. It's a hopeless world in which we are living. And so people try to drown their troubles in drugs and in alcohol and so on. Some people try to drown their troubles by becoming so concerned about the things of this world that they have no time to think about anything else but just the worries of the moment. I know the first woe is past. The other two woes are yet to, two other woes are yet to come. Now, verse 13, the sixth angel blew his trumpet. And this is going to be the last one now in this section. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. Nobody can count a group like that, really. John says, I heard that there were that many in the vision. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of the mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, the idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. Now, that's also a result of false doctrine, that men are never brought to repentance, in spite of all the suffering that God sends into this world, calling men to repentance. Now, there's one more woe coming, but before we get to the last woe, there's again an interlude. Now, we said chapters 8 and 9 deal with false doctrine. Now, let's take a look at chapter 10, where you have the contrast. Remember, in chapter 6, we had these terrible calamities that come over the world. Then in chapter 7, you saw the church kept safe by God. The four winds cannot destroy them until they are safely in heaven. The earth is not going to be destroyed until all 144,000 are safely delivered from this world and taken to heaven then. Now in chapter 10 you have a similar interlude, a contrast. And this is another one of the reasons why I'm convinced that the interpretation is right, which says that chapters 8 and 9 deal with false prophecy or false doctrine. Because in chapter 10 you have, on the other hand, the proclamation of the pure gospel, which is the contrast then to chapters 8 and 9, just as chapter 7 was the contrast to chapter 6. Or no, in the midst of all this false doctrine then that leads people astray and drives them to despair, leaves them without complete hope, John says, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down.'" I referred to this the first evening, when we talked about John being in the Spirit, and I mentioned that this was an experience which was certainly similar to what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says, "I was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows." And he says that twice. And in that experience, Paul heard words, unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. When the seven thunders spoke, John evidently understood what they said, because he was going to write it down, as he had been writing down the other things that he heard. He'd been commanded to write, remember, in the seven letters. And now he hears the voice of the seven thunders, he hears what they've got to say, and God tells him, "Don't write it." In other words, there are some things that I don't want men to know. The future, some things in the future are to be hidden from us. And the seven thunders said, we will never know till we get to heaven. But at least it brings out this point, that even though God in the book of Revelation tells us what life is going to be like in this world, what the church can expect in this world, he said there are some things that you don't need to know about, there are some things you're not going to know about. I'm not going to tell you everything that might be told you about the future. But another question arises, who is this angel? This angel with a rainbow around his head. Now, there are many Lutheran commentators are not in agreement here, and we just don't have time to go into all the different views that men hold, even Bible-believing men who want to be loyal to the Bible. But I could just give you, whether it's an angel or Christ really doesn't make a great deal of difference, finally. Because the message is the same. But I am convinced that this angel is Christ himself. Christ is often, remember the angel, the word angel means messenger, one who is sent to bring a message to others. And in the book of Hebrews, we read in the very first verses, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these latter days spoken unto us by his Son." In the Old Testament, Jesus is called the messenger of the covenant. And the Hebrew word there is angel of the covenant. When Jesus says again and again, "My Father sent me, I was sent into the world to bring the good news of salvation to men." He describes himself there as a messenger. Now the reason that I believe that this messenger is Jesus is that the rainbow above his head. Now in chapter 5 or 4, where we had this vision of God, there was a rainbow around the head of God too. And his face was like the sun. Well, that certainly reminds you of the transfiguration again. And not only transfiguration, but also chapter 1, where it says his face shone as the sun. And his legs were like fiery pillars. And he was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. Now, before we come back to this again, let's read the rest of the chapter. "Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. If you have the King James, it says, time shall be no longer. There's going to be no more time. And it means, of course, there's going to be no more time for repentance. This is the end of the time of repentance for men. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more, go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again to many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. There you have the fourfold division again that we talked about a couple of times. Peoples, nations, languages, and kings. It's one of those passive places where the world is dealt with in a fourfold manner. The number four, or these four divisions, which are used to really include all the people of the world.